Episode. It's Europa League final night and the action's just finished up. I'm here with my good friend Noza and we're going to give our raw opinions on United's season and their overall performance in tonight's final. How are you today, Noz?
Terrible.
Same as, man. It's been a bad night.
Honestly, God, I haven't felt this depressed in a long time. A long time.
It's rough. It's been a very rough night. For anyone who isn't aware, United were playing Villarreal in the Europa League final. They were heavy favourites, very heavy favourites. And despite a game where we seemed on top for most of it, it went the whole way through, full 90 minutes, finished 1-1 into extra time, through the whole of extra time. All the way down to the 11 penalty takers, the goalkeepers on the penalties. And that's where the first missed penalty was.
And you said that we controlled the game, and we controlled possession.
We controlled possession because
we were allowed to control possession. We did what we were
allowed.
They sat back, just like we all predicted before the game. Everyone said it. We said it to ourselves before the game started. They're going to sit back, they're going to let us have the ball. Because they know that we aren't good against teams that sit back and let us have the ball. We're far less dangerous against them sort of teams.
We are fucking abysmal at breaking teams down.
There was never one period in that game where you felt like, geez, United are on top here, or they're seriously threatening their health. Even our goal came from a corner, out to Rashford. Rashford mishits the shot. Bob is in the box, and Eddie's the only one alive in the box.
Yeah.
We never penetrated the defence once. We had two shots on target in the whole 120 minutes. Not good enough.
No.
Terrible final, terrible performance, and such a disappointing end.
Another thing that just takes away from it is it wasn't a good performance by us, but it wasn't a good game either. It wasn't an exciting game to watch. It was just a lot of Bailly and Lindelof passing the ball to each other on the halfway line, and it was just
There was no urgency in our play at all. Bailly was a calamity all game. Lindelof just gets bullied in the air. He's so aerially weak.
Yeah.
Honest to God, you'd have a field day playing against him.
Props to Luke Shaw.
Luke Shaw had a good game.
Luke Shaw unfortunately lost his man for the corner, but from that point on, Gerard Moreno did nothing. Luke Shaw fully pocketed him, and he played great.
Yeah, no.
We had a couple of standouts.
He could have done better for the goal from the free and all.
He could have.
It's like he did. He did well in pocketing Moreno. Scott McTominay played very well.
Edison Cavani
was.
He did what we all knew he'd do.
I was proud of him today. He was the only player. Like, he just seems. He chased every ball. He wanted it more than any United player on that pitch. And I'm good for him that he doesn't get to lift that European trophy.
For anyone who claimed that Edison Cavani was moving to England, moving to United just for money, that proves, even if it is just for the money, he loves football.
He has
a passion for the game. He was the only one active. He was the one sprinting everywhere.
He plays football like all children should. You know, like when they're growing up and you're told to just enjoy your football, go out and play. He chases every ball. He works so hard. He's a typical South American striker because Suarez is the same. Aguero, not the same per se, but they all have that work ethic. Forlan is the same. Diego Forlan. Yes. They all
maybe
have that
just
work ethic.
Uruguayans.
Yeah, maybe Uruguayans especially. Falcao was very similar. But you know, they just have that thing that they enjoy. If they don't have to have the ball to be alive, like his work rate off the ball, his movement off the ball, especially in the first half,
he was
more
willing to get back than any of our attacking-minded midfielders. He was more willing to get back than Greenwood, than Pogba, even though Pogba wasn't playing in an attacking midfield at the time, than Bruno and than Rashford. He was back quicker than all of them every time.
He's the one player, bar McTominay and Shaw, that I can say I was really proud of tonight.
I think one of two players. I think Shaw you can be proud of, but I don't think you can. I said props to Luke Shaw, yes, but I don't think we can give him too much credit. Whereas McTominay, the whole way through, was solid.
Shaw played well. McTominay played very well, in fairness to him. Can't knock him. He always works his socks off. He bleeds for this club. I can't knock him. I thought he played very well.
He played amazing.
Cavani was brilliant.
Always.
No one else. Greenwood looked bright when he got the ball, but he didn't do enough.
He didn't get the ball very often.
Rashford
fucking turned back too many times. He should have just driven.
Rashford just... He hasn't been, like, he really needs a break, and I'm praying to God, if Southgate brings him, please don't start and let him have his break. He looked a shadow of the player that he is for the last 6 months at least now.
He needs
Bruno got man marked. He wasn't in the game at all. It was very disappointing for him. Again, very
slight pockets of the game where he got active.
Yeah, and he can always pop up, he can always create special moments, but I do think he's worn himself in the ground. I do think that he's gassed himself out.
He definitely needs. He's another player that needs. There's a lot of players in our squad need a rest.
Exactly, and Ollie's rotation. He relies on Rashford, Bruno, and Harry Maguire so much. He plays them so much. There's such little rotation when it comes to them, and I feel like towards the end of the season, they've just all worn out. Obviously, Maguire picked up the injury.
Seeing as you mentioned it, how much of an influence do you think that had? Because
I never want to hear, and I'm saying this to absolutely every football fan out there that's ever said a bad word about Harry Maguire. Yeah, maybe he's not 80 million, but I never want to hear a bad word about him again. Without him in our defence, oh my Christ, we look like it. We are a shadow of the team we are than when he's in it. He is so vital to our team.
Never mind the presence he brings, the instruction he brings, everything.
He's a leader.
Even the fine moments, like even getting that ball from where Boye and Lindelof are passing around the back, passing between themselves. That's the moment where usually Lindelof lays it off and Maguire picks it up. Maguire drives forward. Maguire finds a pass. Maguire does something with the ball to get us forward.
He'll get forward. He'll inspire players. He'll try risky balls. He'll dribble. He's just a leader on the pitch. Whereas Boye and Lindelof, when they have the ball, they look so shaky on it.
They
want to play the safe pass. They don't want to take the adventurous risk that they have to. Villarreal's low block. We're not going, like, no one was making, there was fuck all movement.
Yeah.
There was little movement. And then you see Lindelof here staring at this low block. And he goes, you know what, fuck it. Eric, you do it. Pass the ball to Boye. 5 yards across. And then Boye's like, oh, well, fuck this. Back to Victor. Fuck all, man.
Low block also, you could see how much it frustrated our players. Because by the end of the game, we were just pinging 40-yard attempted passes that you can't even, you don't know where they've aimed them because they're just straight out of play.
They just looked aimless. They looked like they had very little ideas, very little energy about the game.
It was not a team of winners.
No, that's what I'm getting. The thing I'm most concerned about by this performance, the semi-final block that we had last year, I'm concerned about the mentality. It's the mentality I'm very worried about. It's not even per se losing the opening point. It hurts. And it hurts for now. It's going to hurt this time next week. It's going to hurt this time next year. But we forgive it if in 2-3 years' time we won a Champions League.
We get back.
We won the Premier League. But I don't believe that this squad of players has that mentality.
We need more.
Shown that throughout the season. We've shown that throughout the season. Once we got past Christmas, remember we got on top of the table. And then we crumbled.
Yeah.
We crumbled. The pressure was on. And people started to believe that we could win a title. People started to believe that we could challenge. And we crumbled. And we showed we can play good football when there's no pressure. As soon as the pressure's on, we crumble. It's a Spurs mentality. We showed a Spurs mentality today, and that is very upsetting. I never thought I'd see that in the Man United team.
I mean, But Kane doesn't want to go into that team. Kane doesn't want to go into a team like that. He doesn't want to play with them players. How they played. How are we meant to attract big players when that's how we play in a final?
We're lucky that our name is Man United. Manchester United is such a big name globally. People have grown up loving this club, and that might, obviously, along with the finances that we can offer, it might allow for big players to just want to come. But if you're just looking at it as a pure footballing side in 2021, you look at that United team and you think, I don't know if that's going places. Yeah. I don't know. Without heavy investment, I don't know. I don't know, man.
They were Europa Conference League bound. They were conference bound.
Yeah.
And they're Champions League.
7th in La Liga. And obviously they were on a good patch of form.
Yeah.
Unai Emery is the king of this tournament. This is now his 4th time winning the Europa League.
He's just It's his title.
He's the goat of the Europa League. Like, and we have to say, fair play to Villarreal.
They played well. They played their game fantastically.
Yeah, they played their game fantastic, and they were hungry. They
defended.
Wanted more.
They defended and they worked, and that was. It was. I want to say it was nice to see, but it was against my team. I really want to appreciate how well they played, but I cannot believe how United played.
I'll always admire a team that digs in. A team that goes against a team that's more capable. We came from the Champions League.
Yeah.
This is a complete and utter disaster, the fact that we started our team in the Champions League.
On a good form.
Yeah. After winning PSG in our first game 2-1 away in Paris, beating Leipzig 5-0 at home, you're thinking, we're certainly going through. We bought the Champions League group stage from a position that...
Fucking Demba Ba.
Yeah, oh, with some of the worst defending against Istanbul, Başakşehir Shahir, like, oh my Christ. And then we go out. That's a disaster. There's no one can tell you that that was nothing short of a disaster. It was brutal. You get put in the Europa League, and the bare minimum for being arguably the best team from the Champions League to go into Europa League after the group stage, you have to win it. You get to the final, and that's what you show. Like, and it's just so disappointing. And like, I'm trying my best not to shout and rant and AFTV the shit out of this. I don't want to be DT. I don't want to be troops. It's just, it hurts, man. It hurts so much right now. It really does. It's so raw. The game literally ended about half an hour ago.
If even.
Yeah, like this is so raw. And we're trying so hard. You should have heard it before we started recording. We were screaming, man, and shooting.
We were sad.
We don't want that to be what this is. We don't want emotional outbursts. This isn't fucking what AFTV does. This isn't for clicks. This isn't for views. But it hurts, man. It fucking hurts.
I just felt
hunger, man.
Yeah, but after a performance like that, I had so much confidence in what we could do next year if we just brought in a couple of good players, what we could be. But after a performance like that, it's not the same hope that's there. It's diminished.
It's just because now it's 4 years without a trophy, and it'll be 5 years before we even have a chance of getting one. So, but it's not even the thing. It's not the fact that it's a trophy, Drew. Yeah, it's not good enough for a club of Man United's stature to go that long without a trophy. But it's the fact that I just feel like there was such a lack of desire in the final. Lack of ideas, lack of hunger. Like, watching Cavani, that's what made me so proud of him today, is that I felt like...
He was the only man that wanted it.
He really, really fucking wanted that.
He wanted it more than anyone on that pitch. No, more than any single player. No one else wanted it that much.
But then, you look at the other side, and I feel like every single one they've been around, every huddle they had, every kind of break they had,
they were together.
Unai's passion on the sideline. And he just felt like, man, these fuckers want it. And they want it. And
they wanted it and they grinded for it and they got it.
When you have that hunger, when you have the desire, it makes up for lack of ability. It does. If you play against a team of super talented players with lack of hunger, or you have bang average players with that desire and that passion, that they wanted more than anything, they're going to win every day of the week.
Yeah.
And they weren't, they didn't threaten their goal. Their goal was so soft to concede. But they wanted it more, and fair play to them. Look, that's, we have to hold our hands up, you know, you can't be a sore loser. Well. They played well,
they played their game perfectly.
They executed their game plan and they deserve the win.
Yeah.
And it's so disappointing. And
that's the worst, they deserve the win.
Yeah, because how can we come out here and say, here, look, we got robbed or this or that? Because we didn't get robbed. No. What did we do? Can you name one moment that you said, wow, man, we got so unlucky, if only that went in. The Rashford chance that he had, but the linesman obviously put up his flag.
Yeah.
Might have been onside, you never know. Yeah,
that one.
That's the only chance.
That should have been a goal as well. That was just poor. Mm. And it's not promising. It's just, you look at the game and everyone seemed just, they were just there. They didn't want to be there, they were just there. There were a couple of exceptions that we mentioned, but there was no passion, there was no drive, there was no... usually United play electric football. Usually they can do that. Usually they can pull it out. They can ping together a couple of passes. They can pick out some nice gaps, find some players, get some shots on target. But we just couldn't do that today because they sat back and they knew how to deal with us.
It just looked like Unai did his homework and they executed the game plan perfectly, and... What can you say? It's
but your They didn't have to do much homework. Just watch any United and Burnley game you've ever seen in your life, and that's just what they did to us.
And they did it perfectly. They did, and it hurts. Honest to God, you know, we sound, must sound like Paris just repeating that.
Yeah, we are
like
repeating it.
It's, what else can you say? Like, it really does. And the only positive I can take out of this game is that maybe Ed's looking at that game. I know he's on the way out. Surely he reports back to the Gators and go, yeah, you need to fucking invest in that team. Because, like, what can you say? That team, as Ollie said a few weeks ago, he said, we can't expect to close this gap on our own. There's a way to go.
There is a
way to go. We need to invest in that team.
You can see that we need help.
We're not going to catch the likes of City. No. We're not going to catch Liverpool. I know we finished ahead of Liverpool this season. Will that same group of players finish ahead of Liverpool next season if neither team invested? No, we won't. Chelsea will invest. Chelsea will come good. We'll be looking to make top four if we do not invest in this team.
We need investment. We need strong investment. We'll throw 80 million and we'll get you one big player. We need more tactical investment than that. It can't just be, there's a name, have him. Just to keep us happy. That's not good enough. We need some well thought out signings in positions that we have holes in. Places that we need to patch up.
The only one thing that actually, before this game started, and it was Fabrizio Romano's tweet, and it was Ole Gunnar Solskjaer will sit down with United board after the Europa League final to discuss transfer targets. And I'm going, that's a bit late, isn't it? Why is this not thought out months in advance and you have your targets to attack from the start of the window? Get it done before the Euros, before
anyone else can get in.
Yeah, and then if just say it's Sancho, okay? The price for Sancho would say 80 million. He has a really good Euros, and then go, you know what, fuck it, 100 million then.
Yeah.
You know,
like, and all of a sudden there's other clubs in the race.
Yeah, and other clubs, Jesus, Sancho had a great fucking Euros, had a good season with Dortmund. Fuck, why not? Good English winger, young. Why not go for him? That's what I'm saying. Why are we letting...
We can't be giving other teams chances to get in because we need it. We need it more than them. We can't let a Man City or a Chelsea or someone get it where they have strength and depth. We need it.
Do you know what this feels like? This feels like deja vu to the 17-18 season.
It does.
We finished second under Mourinho, second to a fantastic Manchester City side, the Centurions, the statistically the best Premier League team ever.
Yeah.
We lost the FA Cup final that year, obviously the Europa this year. So we finished second and lose the Cup final. And you're thinking, okay, now that it hurts losing the final, but second is a platform to build upon. And then what did they do to Jose? They give him Lee Grant, they give him Diego Dallo, and they give him Fred. And they expect to close the gap on fucking City. Now what are they going to do to Ollie this season? Ollie needs investment this summer, and he needs fucking big investment. And he needs Sancho, he needs Rice.
He needs his first options.
Yeah, first options. Don't fucking settle for second and third.
Sancho, Rice, as you said, we are Manchester United. We have the big name. We can attract big players. As much as our play style might not, and how we've been playing in pressure games might not, we can attract big players. We attracted Bruno to the club. Bruno had options everywhere. He could have gone anywhere.
You know what scares me with the Bruno transfer? We were in from the summer of 2019. The same summer we were in for fucking Harry. Same summer we were in for Aaron Wan-Bissaka. And we wouldn't pay the price. And we knew that Tottenham would take him. We knew that. And then we decided to pay fucking 70-odd million in January that season. And then he transformed our season. But imagine if we were proactive in the transfer. We attacked it. And we got him in early. That season, what we just scraped in fourth in the final day.
Different.
It would have been so different. And we could do the same with Sancho this year. Delay it by a year. Get him in. But it scares me the fact we don't attack the window. We gamble. Maybe another club.
We'll save a couple of pounds if we leave them.
City don't do that.
No, never.
Chelsea don't do that.
No.
They will improve. There's a reason why they're going to the Champions League final. There is a reason for that.
Yeah, and City, it's recruitment.
It's like playing World XI in FIFA, their team. But they'll add to it.
Yeah.
They'll win the Champions League and go, you know what, we want to win it again next season. They'll add to it. They'll bring in a fucking marquee sign and they'll get better. Because that's what great teams do. We're a bigger club than City. By a country mile.
Yeah.
Are we a bigger team right now?
No.
Current couple players? Not even fucking close.
Nowhere near.
Oh, and there's not even a contest.
We were blessed to finish that close to them in the league.
Yeah, that's what, you know what people say? And people, now I would agree, if we won the Europa League tonight, a trophy and second place, it's certainly an improvement, it's a stepping stone to build upon. But let's not kid ourselves here. We were a distant second. We were never in contention for this title. City were all, look, City only started playing in January and they ran out comfortable winners. The only reason we finished that close is because City, like, the loss to Chelsea when they're in their armchair, they knew it, the league won. The loss to Brighton, the league was already won. We were never close. As soon as the going got tough, we went running. Yeah. We were scared. We didn't know how to handle it. And I didn't, to be honest with you, my one criticism of Ollie this season, because I do think Ollie deserves very little criticism.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's, I'm
he's been a good manager.
He's had a good season, he's progressed. I want to see him continue, I want to see him be back. We all love Ollie. But I think the way he handled the January period, when don't consider we're not title challengers. Man, you're top of the league at January. Yeah. No team is attacking this yet. City hadn't come good yet. We're Man United. Yes, we are. We should be title challengers. And that mentality is like, geez, don't consider us title challengers. You're the one considering. We don't even consider ourselves title challengers. Mate, you're top of the league at January. Of course
it's a title winning position. But
then we draw 0-0 to Liverpool, who we're just about to go under six defeats at Anfield.
Yeah.
Then we lose to Sheffield United at home. You know, and like, there was we drew to West Brom in that around that period. That was the start of February, I think. It was just that period. And we let City get that big advantage on us. And City were never going to try.
They never lost it. No way they were losing it.
We made them comfortable. And it was there to be attacked. And we didn't attack it. And that's the one criticism I have at Ollie. I thought the way he handled that kind of January period where we were getting to the top of the league, I thought he handled that fairly poorly.
He could have handled it better.
But overall, we'll make this clear. We both love Ollie. We want to see Ollie continue.
Yeah,
there's
no
progress every year.
No way, Ollie. If Ollie goes, I'm not going to be happy.
I won't. Of course, I would not be happy at all.
I need him to stay.
But I have to say, those that call this, it was such an improvement and all that. The reason we're second, and I stand by this completely, and I've stood by this the whole season, I don't feel the way I felt when we finished second under Jose. Because under Jose, we finished with 81 points. We were the clear second best team in the country. 81 points is enough to win you a title in certain seasons. It hasn't been enough to win you it in a long time because the standards that City and Liverpool have set over the last couple of years. But in certain seasons, especially earlier Premier League seasons, that's a title winning amount of points. Well, we finished with 74 this season. We limped into second place, really. Like, we didn't. We had 2 wins in the last 5 games.
Yeah.
Not great. If Chelsea and Leicester were on their game, they could have caught us.
Yeah.
We got second because Liverpool collapsed mid season. Chelsea had that disastrous under the Lampard and then the disastrous end of the season under fucking Tuchel. Leicester have that same mentality issue that we seem to have at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Then Spurs and Arsenal, no point even talking about them.
No,
fucking disaster.
Not at all.
So we limped into second place. It is an improvement last year where we finished third.
Yeah.
But we need to, this summer is so crucial. And if we don't attack this window, we'll be in the Europa League next season.
Really?
We will be.
Yeah. We need, there are positions. There are weak positions in the squad. But it's not as much as we need to buy big players to fill everywhere. Mm. Just think it out smartly. Look for young talent that's already starting to bud, starting to show good signs that they're going to be staying at the top for a while. Be like Leicester City in the transfer window. Get the young players while they're still young and they're starting to get good. Don't wait until they're already a world-class player and pay 10 times the amount and not get to mould them as the type of player you want. If we bring them in when they're young and they're not fully developed yet, if we bring them in and we help them along their way, teach them to play all these balls, teach them to play the Man United way, that's all we need, just to get a group of players.
Big question is, do you think Ollie will be back in the summer?
I'm hoping the protests have worked. I can't be confident.
But do you think that after hearing all of us pray for them to leave, that they're thinking, you know what, these fans clearly hate us, their opinion's never going to change. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to invest another 200, 300 million. Nah, I see it being the complete opposite.
Yeah.
I see them going, you know, fuckers.
I have no hope at all for it, but I just,
Them fuckers, they aren't going to sell because they keep getting their dividends, they keep making their profit because we're such a vibrant financial club. Like, we're a financial juggernaut. Mm. Yeah, and they're going to take their dividends, they're going to take their bonuses, take their salaries, take whatever the fuck they want, and they won't invest shit back. Why would they?
They don't need to.
They don't give a fuck about us. They don't give a shit about us. And they're going to do the same thing they did to Jose. And the thing is that annoys me is that when it happened to Jose, everyone's like, oh, Jose, third season meltdown. Jose, he's a dinosaur. He's finished. And he was let down by the board.
You can already see where it's going with all
I can already see we're going to be fucking 7th or 8th next season. lack of investment. Everyone's saying, well, Ollie was never good enough, Norwegian PE teacher, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be the same fucking shit. And it's not going to be Ollie's fault. And you're never going to hear us say, if Ollie is back in the transfer market and he gets his targets, you will never hear us say, you'll never hear, like, we can criticise Ollie then, if he gets his targets.
If he gets what he wants and it doesn't go well, but if he, then criticise Ollie away. Yeah. But he's not, he hasn't got that investment so far.
I would say, in his first summer, when he got Maguire, he got Wan-Bissaka, he got James, he got, did we have any other American signings? That's what I'm trying to think.
I can't think. I think that's what we got that year, yeah.
Yeah, no,
and then January was Bruno.
I'm pretty sure we're missing one there in the first summer. I think there was four. I can't think of it off the top of my head, which is not a good sign.
Check.
It's not a good sign because if you think we'd remember if it was fucking anyone
massive.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think.
Were you going to say anyway?
But I do think he was bad in that window. With that being said, Harry Maguire was a long-term target from the Jose days. Jose wanted Harry Maguire in first. He even confirmed it there on Gary Neville's podcast, The Overlap. He said that he had chats with Jose the season before. He had chats with Pep the season before. And then Ollie came in and goes, yeah, I like Harry Maguire. And you can see why. He's changed their defence up completely. Wan-Bissaka was a good bit of business as well.
He was.
Stan James.
He's had his moments.
He's not United standard.
He isn't quite, but he's had his moments.
I like his work.
I can see that he could be a utility player. I don't see him as being I don't ever see him as being a fix in the squad.
No, he'll never be. I can strongly state this with no fear of being proven wrong. And if I am, I hold my hands up because I want to see myself proven wrong here badly. I'd love to see his work at Dan James, but he's a good kid. He works hard. He never complains. And I like him a lot, but he will never be in the first team for a regular.
I don't think he'll ever be a consistent starter, no.
He'll never be one of the first names in the team sheet. He's just not that player. And it's sad because I do like the kid, but I don't think Man United's too big for him.
It is. It's not too big for him to play up, but it's too big for him to be a main player.
Yeah, it is. And then we get to January then, and Bruno and Igalo come in. Igalo, he was a cult hero.
He did his job.
He did the job. We can't fault him. He did the job he's brought him to do. He's a cult hero. Everyone appreciates someone that we clearly know is out of his depth and tries his best. And he loves the club, so we do have a somewhat of effect for him. Bruno has been outstanding, of course. Like he took one of the worst.
So influential.
Honest to God, before Bruno came in last season, that was probably the worst United team I'd ever seen.
And he changed the game fully.
He did. He completely changed us, and he's led us to where we are. And people say, oh, he disappears in the big games, all this bollocks. He doesn't.
Disappears in the big games, can only score penalties. Yeah, well, Bruno explain the fucking change. Explain how we got from there to here.
He transformed the club. And sure, what about when he scored against Liverpool in the FA Cup? Oh, yeah, he only scored penalties. Well, oh, when there was only a free kick, he only scored set pieces, blah, blah, blah. Oh, he scored in the 6-1 defeat to Tottenham. Yes, I know it's 6-1. But he did his job. Like,
yeah.
I mean, the man sent off, but... And trust me, that's not something I want to. I don't ever want to remember that fucking 6-1 defeat. But it was only a pen. He's lost 6-1. But that doesn't mean he didn't do his job. They love friendly. Because we're United, hated, adored, never ignored. People love to talk about United. They love to hate on us. They love to see us lose. And that's fair enough. We understand that.
There's a lot of clubs like that. I love to see Liverpool lose.
Yeah, exactly.
Simple as.
That's the thing. That's what shows the mentality about United and Liverpool is that people will always talk about Man United and Liverpool, no matter how bad their current crop of players are, no matter how long it is since the last one trophy, they'll always talk about Man United and Liverpool because we're the two biggest clubs in England by a country mile.
Whereas
when City win a Premier League, everyone forgets about it. To me, it just feels like a waste of a season. I'm just like,
This is the first Premier League this year, no?
But that's what, every single season City win it. Like, I'm just like...
It doesn't matter. No one cares.
Yeah, like, I don't care about it.
We should be the fans that care the most. We are the rival club. Their biggest rivals. They're not our biggest rivals.
Mm.
We are their biggest rivals and we do not care. They obviously we prefer if they didn't win it. We don't want them to win the Champions League.
Mm.
But if they do, it's a case of, well, they've done it.
See, while I admire the setup they have there, I admire the coach they have, I admire the players they have,
fraud.
I can't fucking stand that club. I hate everything they stand for. And it is a thing. Like, I suppose saying that we don't care is false, because obviously we do have a massive preference for them not to win anything. I would love to see Man City go out of business in the morning. I'd love to see the Man City didn't exist in the morning. I can't stand the club. But I care more when Liverpool win things.
Yeah.
Because it hurts more. Because I consider Liverpool...
Because they are...
Liverpool are on par with Man United. Yeah. We are the two biggest. Whereas City just... They do still feel like noisy neighbours. Even though every trophy they win, I'm just like, yeah, I don't... You're not on our level.
They're not.
Because we have history and they don't. And maybe our kids will feel like, oh, my Man City is big. But maybe that's...
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe they are building their history now. And there's no doubt that what they're doing right now will go in history books. But for our generation, who saw where they were, I remember the last game before the oil money came in, they lost 8-1 to Middlesbrough on the final day of the season. And that's the Man City I remember. And now I look at them and they always, to me, look like pretenders.
They do.
They seem like pretenders to me, but that being said, like, they've transformed the club, the current team they have in there, the structure that they have.
The current team they have may well be, it is one of the best, it might be the best team in world football.
It's
of all time.
One of the strongest sides ever.
I think of all time, it has the potential to be the best side ever. Definitely if you look at strength and depth, because they've got world-class players and they've got world-class subs. It is ridiculous.
But the thing is, I just never see us talking about that Man City team the same way we talk about Pep's Paris team from 2009 to 2011. Because...
It's a club without a history and that's it.
Yeah, it's a soulless club. Like the fact, when they can't sell out the Etihad and all that. And you're playing some of the most beautiful football that's been witnessed in England, and you cannot sell out your stadium.
Yeah, it's insane.
They were struggling to fill out their fucking... The Champions League don't even have full attendance for this final, and they're still struggling to sell out. And Chelsea, we can't just blame City for this, because Chelsea didn't sell out theirs. They had to return 800 tickets. It's like, boys, it's a fucking Champions League final. It's not even full attendance. You think you'd be chopping up limbs to go home?
Yeah.
It's just...
Insane.
Yeah, but we're not going to catch them if we don't attack this market.
No.
And I do feel like we're not going to attack it. I feel like we're going to sit back in our chair and then go, you know what, Ollie came second, maybe next season, look at the green, we get the rubber green and we go and attack it. They won't invest shit.
We need something. Someone.
We have to say three signs. Who are you picking? You're in charge. And realistic targets, but I suppose any of these targets, because they'll have the Man United tax, they're going to cost at least 60, 80 minimum anyway.
He's become realistic at this point. Harry Kane, we need him. If we get Harry Kane, it's the same influence Bruno will have. It elevates the entire team. To have a player that quality, like we have Cavani. Cavani's a great goal scorer, but Kane's just a level above, and he's younger. He's got potential to get better as well, which is just.
So I think, especially Kane is the dream signing for any United fan.
Yeah.
Kane and Sancho are the two that we dream about. Kane has just taken his game to another whole different level this season. Like his all around play now, the way he drops, I think he's just so suited to our style of play as well.
Yes.
Do I think we'll get him? No.
I don't think so, yeah.
I would love more than anything. He's a dream sign to get him. But I don't see it happening. But
no.
The money it costs to get him,
I think he's definitely worth it, but I don't think we get him.
Oh, no. You'd pay it. To be honest with you, to see trophies back, you'd see his top of Premier League again. It's priceless. I don't give a fuck how much it costs. I don't care about the money, because we earn our money the right way. It isn't because the Glazers came in and invested a shitload of money into us, because they didn't. They took everything out. They put this mad debt on us. We earn it because of how so many people around the world stay up till 6 o'clock in the morning on the other side of the world watching us play. They travel over. Old Trafford is always sold out.
Yeah.
We are such a big team. There's a reason why we earn our money the right way, and I don't give a fuck how much it takes to buy players like that. Will we buy them? We won't. I wouldn't give a fuck.
The two you named, I think they're, if you give any United fan three players to sign, I think that's definitely two of everyone's three is Sancho and Kane.
See, they're the two that we definitely need. We do need a centre back. Harry Maguire needs a partner, because Boye and Lindelof they're not good enough.
The case of the centre back is it's not someone in particular that's looking at moving away that we want to get. It's just we'll take anyone decent. We just want a good partner for Maguire.
I think you see the rumors of Varane. I don't believe them.
I don't believe them.
Does anyone see Varane in the United jersey right now? I don't see it, but if he was available, of course, you'd chop your left hand off to fucking get him.
Yeah.
Pau Torres, we've been linked with him a lot. He had a good game today in the final. You take him as well, especially, you know, he's balanced as he's a left-footer, you know, him and Maguire. Yeah. I love Jules Koundé.
Yeah, he's a very good player.
I love him. We're being linked. We're only going by players we've been linked with because, like, there's no point naming other centre-backs we haven't been linked with. That's just delusional.
Koulibaly's one we've been linked with for a long time, but at this point I think I'd rather just not get him. We've let it go on too long.
Koulibaly feels like a Wesley Sneijder thing, that we just linked him every single window and we just won't get him. Do I believe we'll get any of them three centre-backs we named? Or we'll say four with Koulibaly in there? No, I don't believe it.
I think the only one we have a realistic chance of getting is Pau Torres. I think Koundé's going to have bigger, like, not bigger clubs, just better teams looking for him. He's going to want to move to someone else. I can see him going to City. I can see that happening.
I hope, but sure, that's the thing that annoys me to see, is that, like...
You can see everyone going there.
Yeah, because, like, Diaz, Stones, Laporte, like... Nate Naki went for big money their last... And you nearly forget the case.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm saying, like... Kyle Walker,
the strength and depth, it's insane. Fucking Ben Mendy, he sits on the...
Since Pep Guardiola came in, City has spent more on their defence.
Trophies and medals all over the place. Mm.
Yeah, he has trophies and all that for playing like fucking 10 minutes a season. Like, honestly, since Guardiola came in, City has spent more money on their defence than most countries. It's fucking mad.
It is.
But they'll keep improving because they don't want to ever fall. Why would you ever want to fall off your perch? Why do you ever not want to be winning the trophies? And that's our biggest problem. And it started from when Fergie retired, David Gill left, and then we brought Woodward's first season in charge. It isn't even Moisey. Moisey wasn't back. Moisey wanted Fabregas. He wanted Bale.
Yeah.
And he gets last minute of the window, he gets Fellaini.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the reason you know he didn't want Fellaini is because he was obviously ever the manager, coach Fellaini. He knew Fellaini's clause that it was 20 million if he got him by August 1st. And he ends up paying 27 million for him on deadline day. It clearly shows he didn't want Fellaini.
Fellaini was an option, but not the first option. And that's what we need, is the first options.
And then remember when that was the same season we sent them fake lawyers over to Bilbao to negotiate the Ander Herrera transfer. Mm. And then they realised they weren't representatives of Man United. It was one of the most farcical stories I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
Like, and it sums up the last 7-8 years under Woodward and under the Glazers. Well, the Glazers have been a fucking disaster all the time, but Ferguson was that good, and that's...
His squads were never amazing. He had average players and made... No, his squads were amazing. He had average players, though, and he just made a great team.
The last two title-winning teams that Ferguson had were bang average,
got them group of players under most... 99% of managers. Mm. Maybe even more.
But it was his genius that meant he alone... drove them title, and that is what I think solidifies him as the greatest manager of all time. Like, if people ever question and go, "Oh, well, Guardiola did this, or Mourinho back in the day did this, or Klopp was fantastic," blah blah blah, Wenger, blah blah blah, Bill Shankly, all them boys, Busby. Remember the end of Ferguson's career, the lack of investment, the banger, Tom Cleverley, Danny Willett, like Alexander Butner, all these lads, Anderson winning fucking four Premier Leagues, and you remember Ferguson,
Champions League winners.
Yeah, like. And he did that. Like, he drove these players. He made them better, 100 times better than what they were. And I just find that insane, man.
Mm.
So, I can't let you go without saying, so your three signs, we started, so you have to finish up.
Right, so obviously...
just three.
It's Sancho and it's Kane. They're locked in. It's just the third signing.
Do you prioritise a holding midfielder or do you prioritise a centre-back? The way we've done it, it's leaving us with very little options. We have to only have three.
Yeah, it's...
We need both. We need both.
I think centre-back's more of a priority. I think there's potential that we can... that Donny van de Beek or Paul Pogba can learn to play with McTominay. They can learn to have that duo and it'll work. And I really hope that happens. So I think we need a centre-back. And obviously, you've named a couple. I'm going to name one you haven't named. And it's Upamecano from Red Bull. Leipzig. He's signing for Bayern Munich. I did not know that. Is it pre-agreed?
Yeah, about 2 months ago.
God damn it, man. Mm. That's sad. Well, in that case, I suppose.
Trust me, I would have loved him with McCann.
Man, he's it. Yeah, oh, we've been linked with him for so long.
That's the thing is, we get linked and linked, yeah, and we don't do shit about it.
Before, so actually, while I just mentioned that we were linked to him, another player we've been linked to is Youri Tielemans. I think it's just another Paul Pogba and Donny van de Beek. If we get Tielemans, of course I'm going to be happy. It's Tielemans. He's a great player, but I don't see the need for us to be even in the market for a player like that. We have... It's the one position we actually have depth in.
Well, if we're signing a midfielder, which we do need
it
to
needs
sign,
to be it a needs to be a defensive midfielder.
It needs to be a replacement for Manage,
yeah,
who is gone. Like, his legs are gone. He can't play the games anymore.
You can see when he plays, he has 30 minutes of football in him and then his legs go.
He's been a great servant, a great footballer. He just doesn't have it anymore. Like, he's old age, catch up on everyone. Father Time's undefeated.
Yeah.
It needs to be a player like Declan Rice, a Carrick, a player who can sit in front of your defence, protect your defence, but can also play ball.
Yeah.
He can dictate play, dictate tempo. If we're signing a midfielder, it has to be a holding midfielder. It has to be one that can play ball. And for me, Declan Rice is the number one option. And
He is. He has to be.
He's
a proven Premier League player. That's another thing, is we've seen that he can do it in the Prem. Mm. He can do it against these players. So he could do it for us. And with the players we have around him, it might help him get better. It might make him a better player. It might help him become mainstay in England's team for the next 10 years.
I do agree with you that if we have to pick between prioritising a centre-back or a holding midfielder, even though we desperately need both, I would prioritise the centre-back, because I do think that Boye is a walking calamity.
Yeah.
I think Lindelof is so easily bullied. It's not even funny. I feel like he wouldn't be too bad as a squad player. You know, he plays the cup games or whatever, the third round, the FA Cup, the fourth round. You can rely on him for some games, but he's never going to win you a Premier League.
You know it's bad when the closest thing we have to replacing Harry Maguire in our team is Axel Tuanzebe.
And even then, someone that's disappointed me.
It's nowhere near Harry Maguire, but it is the closest we have, because he's a player that can win the ball and is also smart on the ball.
But it's that thing, is after his loan move, he had a great loan move to Aston Villa a couple of years back. And I genuinely thought, he came back and it was all his first year, and I was thinking, man, this is it. Look,
yeah, I thought
he's going to come in and he'd be beside Maguire. I thought he was going to kick on, and he just hasn't. The injuries, and when he's had time on the pitch, he hasn't impressed. And nah, man, I don't know. I'm getting worried for Axel. I'm getting scared he might never make it to the level that we all think he can make it to. I'm worried for him. I have to say, of all these players named, look, we definitely need a minimum of 3 signs, ideally 4. They need to be world class.
Yeah.
The only person I see us getting is Sancho, and that is, and we definitely need a right. We need a right.
It's going to be Sancho, and it's going to be after the Euros, and the price tag fully depends on how well they play.
We'll make a show of ourselves in transfer. The only reason I even feel confident about signing them is the fact that he did want to go last year. The fact that we were so publicly going from last year, I don't think the players would want to have that embarrassment of him going to anyone else.
Yeah.
I think it'll hurt their pride, maybe. But besides, I think they're going, here, look, we'll be like, here, look, we want Sancho, we need Sancho, we desperately need him, but we need a whole midfielder, we need a centre-back, and we need a world-class striker. And then you go, well, we got you Sancho, we paid nearly 100 mil for him, like, what else do you want? They're going to go, here, look, we're investing in you. And we go, but you're not investing what we need. They've let Old Trafford rot, man.
Yeah.
You don't see all the videos of, like, when there's heavy rain, it's leaking down the seats, and the reports is rotting the pitch, man. City have upgraded their stadium. Liverpool have upgraded theirs. They've extended the capacity, all that. Mm. Chelsea have plans to build another stadium. Spurs have built a stadium. Everton have planning permission. Arsenal, obviously, the Emirates since 2006. When's the last time Old Trafford hasn't got renovated since 2005?
I know.
We should be up there. Like, Old Trafford, for me, is the most beautiful, perfect stadium in the world.
Yeah.
Why not keep making it better? Why let them even come close to catching up with us? When's the last time a big England match was played at Old Trafford? They used to all be played there. We had a Champions League final there.
I know. It used to be the place.
And then, remember when they were talking about moving the Champions League final, because the two, City and Chelsea, both met it?
Yeah.
I remember it was originally meant to be in Istanbul, and they were talking about moving to England. And Villa Park was the one they mentioned. They mentioned Villa Park, and then they started talking about Wembley. Old Trafford was never in that discussion. Why is that? I know it would never have been allowed, because it was in Manchester. It would have been, City would have gotten advantage. But it was never even in discussion.
Yeah.
And why would it have been? Because a bit of rain and fucking whatever poor fans in Ronaldo's getting drenched.
Mm.
They're letting it rot, man. They couldn't care less about this club. And it's so disappointing, man. That I don't feel... This is a thing that you should be feeling. Oh, well, we finished second. It's an improvement on last year. Maybe next season we can kick on. Yeah. I don't feel that optimism.
Not at all.
I don't feel that we will. I feel that we're going to regress. And we're going to be in the same position next year. Depressed and giving out. And it's sad, man.
I hate
feeling like this.
I do too.
Because I fell for it. When Mourinho came in 16-17, we won the two trophies. We won the League Cup and the Europa. He's a born winner. And with one of the most bang-average squads I've ever seen, you know, produce, he won it. And then we finished second the next season. Obviously, no trophy that season, doing the FA Cup final. But again, it's the same thing as Ollie. You felt progression.
Yeah.
We finished second to one of the best teams the Premier's ever seen. And I was like, yes, I can feel it. You have a world-class manager who's proven it everywhere. And you just feel like, yes, we're going to do it. The same way I feel under Nolly now, because we progressed both seasons, third, then second. I just feel like they're going to throw them under the bus like they did with Jose.
Yeah.
I just feel it, man. And I feel like it's deja vu. That's how I feel.
We can't be sure. We just need to hope. We just need to think positively. We need to just hope they do it. And just before we go any further, like, I have to name a player. So if we're going,
yeah, you have named
it. Yeah, I want to hear your tree as well. But another couple I'd like to mention is like we could just look elsewhere in the league, like Wesley Fofana, he's amazing.
Leicester wants him.
Yeah, it's another Leicester one as well. So Unchu's also amazing. He's another young player, and it's like it shows that there are other clubs that have better scouting, better recruitment than us, and it's. Like, I'd love to see us get Koundé. I don't think it'll happen. I'd love to see us get Ferran. I don't think it'll happen. I'm going to say Koundé because he's the middle option. But I think realistically, if we get any of them, it's Pau Torres.
But Koundé would be my first choice if we could. So that would, I'll name my three. I would say the positions that I'd want would be, ideally, if we can only pick three, even though we desperately need to hold the field, it would be striker, right winger, centre back. Koundé would be my number one choice at centre back. I don't think we'll get him. Harry Kane is my number one choice as a striker because
who could ever give a reason not to want him?
No, we don't need to give any reasons for Harry Kane, but the only thing I will say is, because I suppose people are like, oh, what about Haaland? Because we all know Haaland's on the market. Yeah. Most likely be next season when he's on the market for. The reason I pick Harry Kane over Haaland is, well, one, we don't have to deal with fucking Mino Raiola. I never want to deal with that cunt ever again. Secondly, I feel like Harry Kane seems our style to play better. I mean, just the way he drops, his all-round play, the fact he's English, I think he'll have the chemistry, especially if we have Sancho on one side, Greenwood there as deputy, learning off Sancho on either position, Rashford on...
And learning off, he has Cavani as well. If we get Kane, it gives him a whole new type of striker to learn.
If we had Kane and Sancho in next season, you'd feel hope that we could challenge.
Yeah.
You'd feel that we could. Obviously, I do still think we'd be the centre. If just say we just got them two, we didn't get the centre back or the holding midfielder, I still feel like we're at least two signs away from winning it.
Yeah.
But you'd feel confident that we could. You'd feel like it was in touch.
It's a possibility.
You'd feel that there's actual progress being made in the recruitment. You'd feel like you'd feel hope for the future, but I don't see it. Because Levy's gonna drag every penny out of us, and I just don't see the Blazers putting that kind of money.
Yeah, they won't.
So yeah, they would be my three: Kane, Sancho, and Koundé. If I ideally could only pick three, Rice would be the pick for a holding midfielder if we were lucky enough to get that.
It's a standard there. We have the same three and we have the same fourth potential.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, it just shows that we need it.
It does, and I don't.
Because me and Noz don't agree a lot.
No, I think one of the beauties of the Nozcast is that we have such differing opinions, and I think that leads to a lot of friendly and interesting debates. But I don't think we agree more here. And I feel like if we've got 10 other United fans on here, I think 9 of them would agree.
Yeah.
Obviously, you always have an outlier and fucking chatting shit.
Some weird that says that's a Wobie or something.
No one's going to say that's a Wobie. Not one person has ever said, you know what, my dream sign for any club is Alex Iwobi.
Well, yeah, that's because they don't appreciate the quality of having a world-class uncle.
Oh God, it doesn't matter who you're related to, man. fuck's sake. I don't even want to make Alex and Moby jokes, man. I'm fucking depressed, like. Oh, God. I love him. It just...
Well, I think it's clear to all of our listeners how we're feeling at the moment. We're very deflated, we're depleted, we don't... Oh, we don't believe what's happened, to be honest. Like, no. It's insane.
I can't speak for you listeners out there. I can't. But I can tell you that this is the least enjoyable podcast we've ever made.
Yes.
We are not happy making this. We hope that you're getting some sort of entertainment.
I hope you are some sick fucks and like this.
we promise you that the next episode will be back for ourselves.
It'll be more of me.
Alright, I suppose, before we wrap up, Kyo, do you want to give any final thoughts on the season as a whole?
The way I see it is, the season as a whole didn't go well. The season in Europe didn't go well. The season in Cups didn't go well. But the season in Premier League went okay. It went well. We were the best out of the other teams. We were never going to win it, but we were the best out of the other teams. And it's not a good thing to have with you, but it's at least we were there. At least we did something.
What would you give out of 10 if you had to rate the season?
As a whole, it's...
Yeah, as a whole, you're counting all the cups, all the tournaments, everything.
I'd say it's a 7 out of 10. If it was a case where we started in Europa League, it'd be an 8 out of 10. But because we started in the Champions League and got dropped out of it when we shouldn't have at all...
Not after the start we had. No.
Like, you can't beat PSG on the opening day when you're heavy underdogs.
All we need to do was beat Istanbul Başakşehir over there in fucking Turkey. A side that has been relegated from the Turkish league. They were relegated, man. Oh, and the defending against Demba.
It was Demba Ba, man. That's just the saddest part. It was Demba Ba.
People might think that this is out of passion, out of, you know, like, spur of the moment, our initial raw thoughts to this, like, they might think that this is why I'm saying what I'm going to say, but I think the season has been just extremely disappointing. I think with the Carabao Cup, you lose another semi-final, you lose to City, it hurts. It was disappointing. We were poor in that. It was bad.
It was.
The FA Cup, we get knocked out of the quarterfinals, we lose to Leicester, we were terrible. It was disappointing. We weren't good enough, and it was depressing. Knocked out of the Champions League group stage after the best possible start in the first two games.
It's insane.
Extremely disappointing. Terrible. We get the Europa League then, a terrible end. We were decent all the way through.
It looked like it was good. It looked like it was going to be a good run, and we just...
Yeah, look.
We couldn't finish it off.
It's not a trophy that, you know, you should ever be over the moon to win.
We should never
mark progress.
It should never be a target at the start of the season. It should never be is what we want.
We should never be competing.
It can always be a secondary target. It can always be a target that comes in throughout the season, but it should never be a primary target.
We should never play in this tournament.
We shouldn't be. A club of our stature should never
play in the Europa League. But if you're in it, a club of our stature has to win it, and we didn't. And the way we got it was so disappointing, and that was a failure. And the league season, look, we were distant second to a City team that only started playing in January. We only finished 5 points ahead of a Liverpool team that had a mid-season fucking crisis.
Yeah.
I have to say, a very disappointing season overall.
It is.
If I had to give it a rate now, 10, slightly above average, 5.5. 6 if I'm being very generous. I don't have too much good to say about it, to be honest with you.
We've had bright sparks. I think that final shows how our season went. We had bright players in it. We had bright sparks throughout the game. We had moments, but we never looked like we were going to do much. We had our bits, but we didn't look like we were in control.
Yeah, no, see, there was a lot of bright sparks and all the comebacks from behind and the impressive unbeaten away record, which is phenomenal.
Yeah.
But it was all when there was no pressure on us. And as soon as any bit of pressure came on, any bit of expectation, we crumbled. Champions League, we crumbled. Once we got to a position where everyone and their granny expected us to get through to the knockout stage. We crumbled. The league, when people started to believe that we had a chance to compete, we crumbled. We get to a semi-final, we crumbled. We get to a final, we crumbled. Constantly crumbling.
Yeah.
Constantly. As soon as any pressure came on, we folded. Like deck chairs, man. Like iron chairs. We're fucking, oh. And, yeah, that's the reason why. Like, there's a lot we liked about season. There's a lot of high moments, but it was all when there was no pressure on us. Well, there's no better team to watch when there's no pressure on. We play beautiful football.
We do.
And then as soon as any expectation comes, we let you down.
We do.
And that's why I have to say 5.5-6 at the most. A very disappointing season overall. And good. It's a big summer ahead. A big summer.
Well, for once, it's not a very positive note that we're going to be ending on. But that's all from us for today. We hope you enjoyed. We didn't really, to be honest.
Yeah, we did.
A bit sad to have to talk about such a traumatic event.
Yeah, we're not happy with this at all. But look, we're never going to shy away from it. We'll be here for victories. We'll be here for defeats. We're always going to be united. We love this club. We bleed for this club.
We do.
It means everything to both of us. You win some, you lose some, and we weren't good enough today.
Unfortunately.
Congratulations to Villarreal again and to Unai Emery. They were brilliant today, and the best team won the day. Hopefully, this time next season, we'll be in a happier state of mind, celebrating some silverware. Please God.
And fingers crossed.
Please God, we have a good window. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. Right, well, thank you all so much for listening. And remember, we take this shit so seriously. See you next time.